Good morning.
I want to talk to you today. It's important. I think what you experienced just a moment ago is this thing that we call worship. It is unique to the life of the believer. And if you find it in Scripture, oftentimes it's not even accompanied by music. It's this thing of, comes from this thing of kissing someone at their feet. You probably haven't done that, have you? It's not very popular in our culture. But kneeling at someone's feet, kissing their feet, it's this idea of saying, Lord. It's this mindset of saying, you are God. And so it's part of this thing that is unique to the life of the believer. Then I want to transition you into what I want to talk about today, which is this thing of praise. But there's a problem with praise, and I want to address it today. See, we've been addressing some issues where we have the wrong thoughts about things. So if it's your first time here, we're in this series, and it's called Think Again. And what it is about is if you have a bad thought, if you have a thought that is not in line with Scripture, then you need to think again. And you need to think along the terms that Scripture tells us. And when you do, you will find this amazing freedom. And so today is this thing of praise. And when is the right timing for it? Now, most of us would say if we're going through a situation in life, we would wait until it's over to praise. Is that how you do it? You know, you're going through a bad time, right? And you're hoping that you can just get to a place where maybe God will break through one day when your prayers will be answered and then you can praise Him for it. I want to challenge you that that's the wrong time for praise. I want to ask you to think again when it comes to praise, because timing is everything. And the right time to praise is not when it gets answered. The time to praise is when you're in the middle of it. Man, that's hard. You're like, Lord, you're getting ready to preach something hard this morning, Kevin. Yes, maybe I am. We tend to think that when you're in the middle of it, now that's a perfect time to worry, is it not? You're like, praise, what are you talking about? I am in the middle of a situation here. It's time to worry. It's time to worry up some prayers. It's time to shoot some Hail Marys. I'm not even Catholic. It's time to call the pastor. Because we want to get as high as we can to God. If we thought we could get to Rome and the Pope, we'd try that too. It's time to worry. No, it's not. We've got it all wrong. When you're in the midst of something, the timing is critical. And the timing to praise is actually in the middle. It's why you're going through it. It's when you're in the midst of this thing. And so I want to position you so that you can praise in the midst of it. And for all of you who are sitting there and still a little bit cynical, I want you to just give me a chance, all right? Actually, I don't want you to give me a chance. Just give the Word a chance, all right? Give the Word that I'm going to give you today a chance to penetrate your heart. Turn to Romans chapter 5 with me. We've been here before. We're going there again. In Romans chapter 5, if we're going to praise God in the midst of something, then the first thing we need to do is we need to know where we stand. Romans 5, beginning in verse 1, it tells us where we stand. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope. That means we joy. We joy in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult, we joy in our tribulations. That's right. You read that right. I looked at it a couple times myself. We joy in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the first thing is, when you're going through a trial or a tribulation or a situation, the last thing you want to doubt is your relationship with God. The last thing you want to do is to be sitting there wondering, I don't know if it's okay with me and God or not. Where do I stand with God? You don't want that. And you don't have to be doubting. Because for everyone who has put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that we have peace with God. I was listening to the radio, and I'm not sure who the pastor was, and I turned it too fast, but he was talking about when you sin and you feel that weight of condemnation. That ever happened to anybody? You do something and you know it was wrong, and all of a sudden there's this guilt and this condemnation that sort of floods you, and you feel like, man, I don't deserve forgiveness maybe, or I don't deserve the love of God, or something bad is going to happen to me. And the pastor, I cut it off right there, so I'm going to finish what I hope he was getting ready to say. Is that okay? It got me thinking, all right? And I'm like, you know what? when we feel that way, Lord, I've done something wrong, I don't deserve whatever it is, we ought to back up to before we sinned. And let me ask you this, what exactly were you doing before you sinned that caused you to deserve God? That was good, don't you think, Ms. Joyce? I believe that's what that pastor would say. I hope it was. He would take you back and say, what were you doing before you sinned to deserve the love of God, the favor of God, the blessings of God? And the answer is found in Romans. You're not justified. You're not made right with God by your good behavior. You're made right through the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. Now that's good because that's unchanging. So let me tell you today, when you're in the midst of it, the throes of a situation, I'll tell you where your position is. You are at peace with God if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior this morning, oh, we can fix that. I'm telling you, we can fix that. Then, where are you standing? You're standing, what does it say? You're standing in, oh, y'all don't even know. Grace. Where does the believer stand? Some of you say, I'm standing in some stuff, but it don't feel like grace. Yeah, I know. There is what we feel, and then there is what the Word of God tells us. And if you could see it from God's point of view, He would say, child, you're always standing in grace. You're always standing in my presence. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always love you. You are always standing in my grace. And then it says that we exult. We take joy. We exult in hope. Does anybody know what hope means? Oh, it's the powerful weapon of the believer. I define it this way. Hope is a joyful expectation of good. It's this mindset. It's this position that we're in that it says, I'm joyfully expecting God to do something good before it even happens. You see, it's before that thing happens. And so we stand in grace and we joy in this hope that God is going to do something good. And it says in the glory of God. Let me remind you again. I feel like I've said this a lot, but sometimes I have to say things a lot. I had one person tell me, Kevin, I told this person that truth. I don't know why they didn't apply it to their life. I said, boy, you should become a pastor. I say some stuff about 19, 20 times, and all of a sudden somebody will get it. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. So I'm going to say it again. When Moses said, Lord, show me your glory, God said, thank you, I'd love to. And He let His goodness pass before Moses. And it was more than Moses could stand. Oh, man. So we hope in the goodness of God. And it's sometimes more than we can stand. And then you got to get the timing right. And so I want to draw you again. So it says that we exult, we joy in our tribulation. Not after it happens, but in our tribulation. And then I want to take you over to James. So flip toward the back. James is a small book. If you don't have your Bibles, it's okay. I'm going to read it to you and let it sink into your heart. So James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That sounds like the verse we just read, doesn't it? It has that same tenor to it. And he's saying in this, when you encounter various trials. So here are some things that I want you to be mindful of when you're going through a trial, because God's up to something. In fact, I've shared with you before, Graham Cook is a great guy to listen to. A lot of his stuff is online. He does a lot about renewing your mind and how to think biblically. And he said that for a Christian, when they encounter a trial in their life, they literally ought to pick up the phone. Can you see I've still got a phone that's got a cord on it? Oh, my Lord. Wow. You pick up your cell phone and you call up your buddy and you say, you aren't going to believe it. It is a good day. And your friend, they're a believer too. And they say, why? Have you got some tribulation today? And you go, yeah. And they're like, dude, I want some. You're like, oh, you should come and move into my house. We got it all the time. There's tribulation. Do you know what that means to me? It means that God's getting ready to do something. Because, see, He wouldn't just leave me there. He takes all things and He works them for good. And so this thing is not good right now. That's why we call it a tribulation, and I'm joying in it. Okay? But you call up your friends, you're like, dude, God's on the move because stuff is being stirred up in my life. Now, what is being stirred up in your life? It gives us this list of things. It says that there are times where we just don't have knowledge of something. You ever ran into that? You just didn't know any better. We tend to forget about that, but there are times when we do things and we honestly just didn't know any better. And it makes you feel stupid sometimes, but it's true. And so these things help to add to us what we need. I was driving to church this morning, and I have a button on my, this little button up here. You see how I know all this stuff about cars? There's a button. I have no idea what that button does. If I had had more time before I came to church, I would have pulled out my book and found out what the button says. I don't know. But you know what? As soon as I get out of here, I have an opportunity to learn a little bit more about my vehicle. That thing might be like nitrous oxide or something, and I'll be flying down the bypass. I don't know what it is right now. I don't know. There are times you don't know. There's issues of wisdom. Is that you know what to do, you just haven't done it. I talked to us last week about one of the greatest pursuits we can have in life is the wisdom of God, to know what to do and when to do it and to pursue wisdom. I've said before, it's okay to be 12 years old and make a 12-year-old mistake. It is not okay to be 25 years old and still making 12-year-old mistakes. I should have got an amen for that. Thank you. There's issues of character. There are times where we got ourselves into a situation because we didn't know. There are times we get ourselves into a situation because we just haven't put it all together yet. We don't have the wisdom for it yet. There are times where we get in trouble because there's a problem with our character. You might say, I didn't tell quite the truth. You know, I may have misrepresented the facts. No, you lied. And that always gets us in trouble. No, you weren't diligent. And so you quit 9 miles on a 10-mile race. And you didn't have the thing that God wanted to give you. And so there are character issues that things are happening and God says, I'm going to take it as an opportunity to develop your knowledge, to develop your wisdom, to develop character in your life. And as I started looking at all those things, I started to realize, you know what? A lot of the stuff I had blamed Satan for was really my fault. It was really my fault. And when I clean up the knowledge issues and the wisdom issues and the character issues, it's amazing how many trials and tribulations just leave us. Now, they don't all leave you. But it's amazing how many of them will leave. In fact, I thought, God, it'd be interesting if we could just get a percentage, because you know I love that kind of stuff. And I was thinking, God, wouldn't it be great if I could just see the percentages of how many times I get myself into a fix because of a knowledge issue, a wisdom issue, or a character issue. But all those things are entirely fixable. Entirely, through the Word of God, help us think again. And then there's the devil. I don't want to leave him out because I don't like him. I had one of you call me this week and you said, Kevin, I think I'm getting it. A lot of stuff that's going on in my life, it's not really the devil. It's just me having to grow up and having to mature. I'm like, yeah. I said, you know what? I said, the devil really doesn't have very much authority. If you notice that when Christ died on the cross, he took his authority. He defeated the devil, right? So he's defeated. You're like, well, how did he get so strong in my life? Because you gave him authority. And she said, wait a minute. You're saying that he doesn't have any authority beyond what I give him? I'm like, yes. That's how he operates. He has to lie to you. He has to manipulate you in such a way that you give him authority in your life. She said, that's all I need to hear. Goodbye. I ain't heard from her since. But I believe she's doing good because she's got it. And so all of these are these opportunities for us to grow. And so when you meet that challenge, when you meet that obstacle in life, if you can just stand in grace, in peace with God, asking God, what are you going to do? I'm hoping for something good. Are you going to give me more knowledge? Are you going to give me more wisdom? Are you going to add to the character that's in my life? Are you going to help me to understand how to defeat the enemy? And then you position yourself for these really cool things that happen. And just in case you need a little bit more, I want to take you to a story in the Bible that some of you are familiar with. And if you will, turn to Acts chapter 16. I want to give you what it looks like to praise God in the midst of a difficult situation before the answer comes. It's the story of Paul and Silas. Any of you know where I'm going with this? So Paul and Silas are out preaching. I'll give you a little context if you're turning in your Bibles. Paul and Silas are out preaching, and there is this girl. She's like a medium, you might say. She's foretelling things, but she's a slave girl, and so her owners are using this girl in order to profit, to make money. And so Paul and Silas are moving about, and this girl, she's annoying them. In fact, I circle that in Acts chapter 16, verse 18. It said that she had been following them for days and telling everybody that they were from God, and it says that Paul was annoyed, greatly annoyed by her. And so after a while, he just says, you know what? And he just cast out this demon out of this girl. Now that's cool if you're the slave girl. But her owners, that's another story. Because now she doesn't have the capacity to make the money like she used to. And so they are mad. And they have Paul and Silas brought up on charges. And now let me read to you if I can. Look at the situation they're in the middle of. In verse 22, the crowd rose up together against them and the chief magistrates. They tore their robes off of them and they proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them. And it says that the guard was scared that they would get out, so he puts them in an inner prison just to make sure. In those days, if you were the guard and a prisoner escaped, it was your life that was on the line. And so the guard says, I'm not losing my life over these fellas. I'll put them in the inner part of the prison. Now, in case we didn't know what's going on, can I set this scene for you? It says that it was about midnight when things started happening. You ever notice that around midnight to 3 o'clock is just a long time? Some, if you can't sleep, what is it about that 12 to 3 thing? You know, if you're going to worry, 12 to 3 is a perfect time to do it, isn't it? Oh, y'all know. I wondered if it was just me. You know, but it seems like that 12 to 3 period is difficult. You go to sleep and you wake up at 12 and you worry till about 3, 3:30. Something happens long about 4 o'clock. I don't know if we just worry ourselves into exhaustion, you know, but somehow we manage to fall asleep about 4 or 4:30 or something like that, right before it's time to get up, of course, right? Yeah. So it's midnight. And they're in the inner part of a prison. Now, this is not out at the Chester County facility, all right? This is not somewhere down in Columbia or even a federal prison. This is down in a hole. The inner prison is down in the dirt. It's they dig it out and they put them in there. And it's dark down there. There's no lights. It stinks down there because there's no toilet down there, okay? There's rats down there. There's no air, no ventilation, no circulation. So the air is thick and damp and dank. And that's where Paul and Silas are. Now they've been stripped off of their robes, so they're unclothed. They've been beaten with rods, and so their back's bruised and it's bleeding. And their feet have been put in these shackles, these chains. They would normally put your whole body in there, but you can't stay like that overnight. It's liable to kill you. They don't want them dead. They just want them miserable. And so their legs are in these shackles, and the gate is locked. So what do you do if you're Paul and Silas? What do you do if you're Paul and Silas? That's because you read the story. That's because the answer was you praise. But I said, that's because you read the story. See, you got to put yourself in Paul and Silas' shoes for just a minute. Can I remind you again? It's dark. Can't see anything. Never been there before. The worst of the worst prisoners are down here. You're in a hole. If you use the bathroom, it's bad. It stinks. Can't get any air. The doors are locked. You've been beaten. You've been unclothed. What do you do? Just do what you do when somebody calls you a bad name. Huh? Just do what you do when you get offended. I'm talking to myself here too. You know, I've never been beaten. Somebody hurt my feelings once. What do you do when you're in the midst of the situation? It's a perfect time to worry. It's a perfect time to question, where is God? God, where are you? We were out there ministering. Surely we should be over a very large church at this point, and we are in prison. Where are you, God? God, I've been trying to do what's right. I've been giving a little money down to church. I've been trying to go, you know, as often as I possibly can, all that good stuff. Surely, where are you, God? But nah, what do? They start to praise. And so let me tell you this. It was the right time to praise, but you don't always feel like praising. Did you hear me? You don't always feel like praising. That doesn't mean you shouldn't. Let me explain. There are a lot of you that get up every morning and you go to work. And that's an awesome thing. Do you feel like it every morning? No. There are mornings you get up and you're tired. You've been up from that 12 to 3. You know, there are moments that you get up and you don't feel good. You just been a little sick or something. You feel like something's coming on you and you don't feel like going to work. But for most of you, you get up and you do what? You do it anyway. Because you know that there's responsibilities there. You know that you got bills to pay and you got children and a family to take care of. And so we're actually used to doing things that we don't feel like doing. And I would tell you, when it comes to praise, you're going to have to do it even when you don't feel like it. And so I don't know what it started like. I think as pastors we get in trouble sometimes when we try to tell people what somebody was feeling. I don't know what Paul and Silas was feeling. I just know what I would be feeling. And I know it'd be hard to praise. And so I'd have to tell myself, this is the moment to praise. And when I started out, it may not have been very good. I'd probably been like, Lord, you're good. You don't feel good right now. Lord, you are faithful. Oh, okay. Yeah, let me try that again. Lord, you are faithful. I'm not sure if I could even muster enough to say it out loud. You ever been that way? You know, you can't even muster up enough of it to say it out loud. But before long, they had somehow started, it says, praying and praising God with hymns. They were singing. And somehow it got to the point that everybody in the jail was listening. And so I can just picture us as we're in that situation and we start out and we don't feel like it. But we just keep reminding ourselves of what the Word says and who God is. Until finally it gets loud enough with Paul and Silas that it says that all the prisoners will listen to them in verse 25. I can just picture Satan there. And again, I'm just, you know. You ever just felt like Satan was in the room? Yeah. Praise is really good. Because as they were just sitting there, I think back to Psalms 23. You know what that says? That the Lord will make a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Right, Psalms 23. I love that. Yeah. I think there are times where you have to praise and you have to get at such a level that at some point, I don't believe in talking to Satan much, but I believe we ought to look at him and say, you know what, if you're going to be in this prison cell with me, then you're just going to have to sit right here and watch us praise God. Now you can either get up and go, or you can watch God prepare a table for me in your presence. But oh, I'm going to praise Him. Did you get that? Yeah, I used to always want God to just run my enemies off. And then when I ran into Psalms 23, it says, I will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemy. And I said, oh, that's better. That's actually better. That actually says, you know what, devil? As long as you're going to be around here, you're going to have to watch. Because I'm going to praise. And as they begin to praise, in that 12 o'clock midnight hour, it says that there was an earthquake. It says that the chains fell off and that the prison doors were open. And for most of us, we'd have been gone. We'd been stumbling through the dark trying to find a way out. But in the midst of that, praising God, they sat right there and they didn't move. And the prison guard grabs up some lights to try to find out what's been going on. And when he finds out that the prison doors are open and all the chains have come off of all of the inmates in the prison, that he gets ready to throw himself on his sword because he realizes that they're going to all get away and he's going to end up having to pay for it and he's going to lose his life. So he's going to fall on his sword. Paul and Silas, they say, stop, don't do it. Everybody's here. We hadn't gone anywhere. And the prison guard comes And he's so awe-inspired by what they've done. They've been beaten. All this stuff has happened to them. And they could have left and they didn't. And they begin to just tell him what's happened. And it says that he asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You see that? That's the power of praise. It's not only will it loose the chains off of us, not only will it set our prison doors open, but praise is powerful enough that it can set the people around us free. Why do I feel like I'm more excited about this than y'all are? Do you see that? There are some of you and you feel like you're in chains to something, a sin that you feel like you can't get the handle on. Don't wait until you get free to praise God. Praise Him now. Praise has this amazing capacity to be able to reach God in ways that nothing else can. We begin to worship over the Word of God. If you're doing it right, you're going to be using the Word of God, so you don't have anything to worry about. It's going to be true. It has this way of connecting us with God, and it's as though the Lord says, "You know what? You've said it, and so I'm going to fall in, and I'm going to do this thing that is good for you." It releases sometimes the very thing that God wants to do in our lives. And so whenever you feel like you're in chains, I'm going to tell you to praise even when you don't feel like it. And there's a capacity to not only set your life free, but to set everybody around you free. That's why my heart continues to grow for this thing called Celebrate Recovery. Because I watch people who are getting free. And they may look and say, "You know what, I don't know if God will ever be able to use me." And I would say, "Oh, He absolutely will." Because through your praise, through your testimony of what God has done to loosen your shackles and to open your prison doors, He will loosen the prison doors of somebody else. And He will set them free. How did they overcome? It says, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It's powerful for not only setting you free, but your whole family. And so he says, what do I have to do to be free? And it says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Now let me just finish up with this story. And so what does the prisoner guard do? He takes Paul and Silas home with him. And it says that he washes their back. Can you see that? They've been beaten. He washes the blood off their back. He begins to tend to their wounds. Now that's what he did. You want to know what they did? They applied the blood of Jesus to the guard's life and to his family. And the blood of Jesus washed that guard's sins away. And they went out and they baptized that guard and all of his family, which is a symbol of washing all their sins away. You see, the guard washed something, but so did the blood of Jesus wash something. And then it says that the guards fed them. But you know what? They had already been feeding the guard the body and the blood of Jesus, the bread of life. They'd been giving this guard the bread of life. He thought he was feeding them. They were feeding the guard. And so in the midst of this guard washing them and feeding them, he got washed and he got fed. Why? Because somebody decided to praise when they might not feel like it. And I'm going to tell you, that's exactly what we have to do. And so there is a timing when it comes to praise. And the timing is not after the prison door comes open, but while you're in the thick of it. And so here's what we're going to do. I need the person who's in the midst of a problem. That's who I'm looking for today. I need a person in the midst of a problem. You're in the thick of it right now. You haven't seen the answer. I'm looking for the person that doesn't feel like it. You came in today, and that whole first part of the service didn't do a thing for you because you didn't feel like it. But I want to tell you, if you're in the thick of it and you don't feel like it, you're actually the one in our midst that has the greatest authority for praise right now. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If you're in the thick of it and you don't feel like it, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Thank you. Allison, sometimes people have to be waymakers. They're the first one. And when then they step out, everybody else steps out behind them. A lot of times you just need somebody. That's what happens with praise. You see, when one person decides they're going to do something, they make a way for everybody else to do something. So I'm going to continue to give you an opportunity. If you are in the midst of something right now, I want you to stand up, and we're going to spend this last little bit praising. If you're the one that you came and you don't feel like it today, I'm going to ask you to stand, because you're the one that's going to give authority to what's getting ready to happen right now. Because see, you're going to have to do it in faith. Somebody else will say, I don't have anything going on. I say, it's easy for you to be happy. These folks, it's going to cost them something. That's why they have authority. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want somebody to get around everybody. So go ahead, y'all. Move next to somebody. Because Paul needed a Silas. Silas needed a Paul. You don't need to be in this alone. You might be standing by your family. And if you are, you'll be your Paul and Silas together.
If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.